When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Red Robin comes bobbing along. There'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along. When he starts throbbing his own sweet song. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Both teams came out fighting, but it was the Addicts who delivered the knockout blow. Welcome to Charlton Live. A very good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live, coming to you live from the Valley. My name is Louis Mendes, and joining me here in the studio at the Valley is, for the first time this season, it feels like ages since I've seen you, Terry, even though it was only yesterday. No,
yeah, exactly, yeah.
Is Terry Smith, how are you doing, Terry?
A very good evening. Oh, yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah, good holiday?
Top notch, thank you.
Finally decided to turn up.
Well, you know, can't have too much of a good thing, can you?
Exactly, and that's why we're happy to have you here. on tonight's show, we will, of course, look back at yesterday's... I've called it the Battle of Roots Hall, but I think we're going to try and work out a better name for it already, because we've got the Battle of the Bridge from back in the day, so we're going to try and work out a better name for what the hell happened yesterday at Roots Hall against Southend. Charlton won it. That's the most important thing. 2-1, a late header from Christian Billick won it for the Addicts, but it was absolute chaos in added time there. 18-man brawl estimate, because there were so many men in there, it's impossible to count them. Ended up with 3 red cards throughout the game, so it was quite remarkable. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite that ferocious on a football pitch. So we're going to discuss what happened yesterday. We're going to hear, of course, from the caretaker gaffer Ali Boya. We also want to hear from you guys. You can email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Live forum and have your say on there as well. We'll talk about yesterday's game. We're also going to talk about later on in the show our debutant Josh Cullen on loan from West Ham. Also talk about the signing, of course, of Jamie Ward. I got those two mixed up on air yesterday and called him Jamie Cullen.
Do you know what? Funny enough, I said that before we kicked off yesterday. I'm going through and I said, is Ward's name Jamie? And just to confirm, and they went, yes. I said, I'm going to say Jamie Cullen at some point.
And I said Jamie Cullen in my intro on BBC. I was like, I didn't even written it down like that. I was like, for goodness sake.
Secret fan.
Yeah, so he's a singer, of course. Let us know what you made of his debut. Also, now we know the loan window is closed. Now we know where the squad is between now and up to January. So we'd like to know, really, are you happy with the squad, with the hand that Lee Boya has been dealt between now and the end of the year? You'll see a tweet that's going to come out on our feed sort of slightly on about 20 past seven, perhaps, it's got a list of all the ins and outs in the summer, and you can make your mind up if you think that the squad's been strengthened, weakened. Let us know. So studio@charltonlive.co.uk, tweet us at Charlton Live, or like I said, head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show, and you can have your say. If we've got time, we might even look ahead to the Chequer Trade Cup with AFC Wimbledon. I mean, if we're really pushed for time, we're going to have to try and drag that out over 15 minutes, which is
pretty much like the game itself, I suspect.
Yeah, right. Obviously, we've got a game that we had yesterday, Terry. Quite a remarkable ending to the game. It looked like it was going to fizzle out into a 1-1 draw, but Charlton with a team in the ascendancy at the end. We got the win, and then we also may possibly lost the fight on technical knockout. But overall, what was your view of the day?
I think because we had more numbers left, I think we probably just edged it.
Yeah.
I was trying to summarise, and yes, the weather was gorgeous this weekend. It's my first Charlton Live of the season. Said hello to some old friends yesterday. 3 points away at the seaside. Palace lost, Millwall lost, and the Peterborough Gruesome Twosome both got sent off. So I've had worse. In deference to where we are as a club, I've had worse weekends.
And also, actually, we have to point out that Charlton Live won our Jacko's Jackpot bet.
This is the first time
this season, only the second time ever. We had a bet on Charlton to win and both teams to score, so we put £2.50 on that. We've won £30 for the upbeats, which we're really pleased about.
That's quality.
Yeah, and so Nathan's going to be donating that to the upbeats when he gets a chance. So well done us. Right, I think we should have a listen to the highlights of yesterday's game. They're quite long, and we get through the first half in literally about 2 minutes, but just the rest of it, it goes on forever. This is how it went down in the Battle of Roots Hall.
Taylor finds Billick down the line, lovely ball as well to Jose. Jose's away from his man briefly, corner of the penalty area, ball into the box to Taylor, took a deflection, tried to get on the rebound, just cleared away by White before he can pounce again. Billick goes left to Page, who's got a load of space to run into now. Lewis Page cuts inside Buomono, now into the box. Lewis Page pushed over. No, I don't think he is. I really got to say no, shoulder to shoulder, I think. I don't think it was a penalty.
Hampton now looking for options, goes back to Kightley, and then Kightley lofts it long, and Hopper's got a lot of space here. And I warned earlier about the fact that there would only be two defenders back, and Hopper's into the Charlton penalty area and knocks it back to Manton, and it's a it was Dimitri right on the edge of the penalty area, right footed first time, but it was always drifting away from Phillips' goal. But that looked like probably the best effort of the game so far
to force Grant back, but Grant then switched it back in with his left foot, and Bauer's there, and Bauer gets the header. And it bounces off Oxley wasn't able to get his hands to it at the first attempt, but then does at the second, and eventually claims it.
I think we could just about give Turner credit for levering Bauer out of the way so he couldn't get a clean contact on it, but what a chance
inside, and he's going to come all the way across to Lewis Page, who again has got space over on the left, and he gets a brilliant ball in, and it's got over Turner that time, and it's gone to the back post where Jose is, and volleys it. And he had so much time inside the south end box, he took two touches, volleyed it on the left foot, and it's gone wide of the goal. But a brilliant chance for Charlton, probably the best of the half.
They both run to it, and Coca takes it short into the box, and there's a flick shot in.
Good block from Solly.
From Turner, but it's blocked away, and then the shot comes in long from Bromo, and it's comfortably wide of Dylan Phillips.
Cracking block, defensive block from Chris Solly there.
Slight nudge from Solly, so Solly wins the ball and then stabs it forward. Grant's going to put Turner under pressure. Turner, an experienced defender,
goes
down, but no way a foul. And Grant's got away and burst into the penalty area, switch it across, and it's there! And Charlton has scored in front of the away fans. It was Grant up against Turner. Turner went down claiming a free kick. It definitely wasn't. Grant burst into the penalty area, fired the ball across the 6-yard box, and there was Lyle Taylor for his third league goal of the season to knock it in past Mark Oxley and the Addicts in a scrappy opening 12 minutes in the second half of taking the lead.
Well, first of all, you've got to give huge credit to Chris Solly, who combined with Jose on this near side, and he was put under huge pressure by Kightley, but still managed to get the chip ball away into the corner. And Carlin Grant's pace was really, you could see the concern on Turner's face as he was facing the wrong way, and then he tried to get in front of Carlin, who just didn't push him, he just used his strength to side to side to lever him out the way, and Turner hit the floor. And from that moment on, Charlton were in the ascendancy, and a lovely ball back from Carlin. He could have shot Carlin Grant, could have had a smack, but he saw Lyle Taylor in the edge of the 6-yard box, not quite completely unmarked, but with enough space to bury that shot into the left-hand side. Just got booked for his troubles for celebrating behind the goal, but who cares?
Quickly, and now Theo Robinson has it halfway inside the half, over to Kightley on this side, the left. He's got it on his right foot, and he clips it further across to the left back. And it's in! And it slipped under Dylan Phillips, who's going to feel that he should have done better there.
Robinson.
Because Ben Coker, with his left foot, I think it was him who got the final touch. He shot,
Dylan Phillips went down to his left and the ball slipped underneath him and into the back of the net. I don't know if anybody else got a touch, but Phillips has got to do better with that. And just 2 minutes, Charlton were in front, and now Southend are back level.
Maybe so, but equally, there was no cover on this Charlton right-hand side. But Jose tried to get back there, and he was the last man to dive into the attempted challenge. It went under him, and Dylan Phillips needed a stronger left arm, didn't he, really?
Yeah, poor from Dylan Phillips. He's going to feel that he's should have done a lot better there. And Solly frustrated, but it was Solly's right back place that was exposed.
Taylor on the return header up to Grant. It'll drop to Lapsley.
Have a
Lapsley
go.
Thought about a shot and steps it into Grant. Grant's offside, and he scores, but he's offside. And I'm wondering if he'd left that to Nicky Ajose, who was running through. He may not have been.
Brilliant.
But Grant was offside. He comes towards the edge of the area. Up his Pierce. He gets the head there as well. It's dropping towards Fosser. He can't turn. Back to goal. He's got not enough space to turn. Now he tries to turn. Gets the ball. Loops it across into the penalty area. Headed away by Turner. Drops to Pierce. Can he shoot? He does. Over the bar.
Oh, it's a corner.
Inches over the bar. It must have taken a deflection because it's another Charlton corner.
Fosu did so well to get away from his man there. Eventually clipped the ball back across. The header was back away from Turner, but only as far as Pierce, who'd stayed up and was in the area. Snapshot away with a volley and went just over the bar with a deflection from the South End player.
Cullen with this corner on the near side. Love it to Pierce. Yeah! Oh, it's good header, and it's Bellick with the header. Thought it was going towards Pierce. It went instead to the Arsenal loanee, who's buried his first goal in a Charlton shirt, and Charlton now have a 2-1 lead with only 3 minutes left of normal time.
And they've been putting Southend under pressure for the last 2 or 3 minutes, and Cullen's corners all game have been excellent, but a lot of them have been deep towards the back post. Not that time. It was swung in hard and low towards the near post. Billick made a brilliant run, got away from his man and thundered a header into the near post. Oxley had no chance in the Southend goal, and with what, 2.5 minutes left, Charlton have regained the lead, and lead here 2-1.
Right by the corner flag on the Charlton left hand side, the far side as we look at it.
That'll be a free kick.
Pushed to the floor, and Fosser, and it's all kicking off down in that corner. Somebody going down holding in their face, a Southend player, and everybody's over.
Lapsley's gone in, and Lapsley's up against the goalkeeper there, and it's
the goalkeeper's just launched himself at Lapsley.
Yeah.
Oh, it's carnage over there in the corner.
It's turned sour. It did.
There could be a sending off here. If there's it's Kightley that's gone down holding his face. So judging by what he's done so far this game, I suspect he was nowhere near it.
Yeah, it was Kightley up against Fosu, I think, that gave him away the initial free kick to Fosu.
Well, they dragged Tariq Fosu away.
Fosu definitely reacted. Fosu definitely did something, but I don't know what it was. As you say, Kightley went down holding his face, but then all the players palmed it.
Fosu been sent off.
Fosu definitely raised his hands. I didn't see what happened, but he definitely raised his hands at Michael Kightley. The keeper, as I say, sprinted out, and he didn't help matters because he leapt in at George Lapsley. But Fosu's been sent off, and as I say, he definitely raised his hands, but I don't know what happened. It was right over on the far side from where we're sat here in the press box, but right in front of the Charlton fans.
Kightley can't get away. Somebody's got to be in a blue shirt, has got to be booked for that, surely.
At the very least. And Pierce is not happy.
Pierce is absolutely
fuming and
beside himself. There's still questions being asked of the
referee. Fosu, who's done so well to come back from that injury and perform so well.
Dimitri is pushing Solly. Oh, I hate that fellow. I don't know who he is. Oh, and there's another. That's red card for Kightley.
Well, it had to be, because as I said, I don't know what happened over there. But for Fosu to react like that, I just don't know what happened.
I'll tell you what, the keeper might be in trouble here. Dylan Phillips is pulling Jason Pierce away.
Well
done, Dylan.
Yeah, Dylan's done really well.
Now, the keeper
there
might be in trouble here himself, because he launched himself at George Lapsley.
He was the one who forced himself, as you say, towards Lapsley. And it looked again like he raised a hand at Lapsley as well.
There's another card coming out, and it's a red one to the keeper.
Unbelievable scenes here. Three red cards in a massive brawl at the end of this game. And obviously there's no goalkeeper now for Southend, because they've made three changes. But it wasn't pretty over there. As I say, we're the opposite side of the pitch, so it was very difficult to see what was happening. But there were hands raised. There looked like there were punches thrown.
He's blown the whistle because he's shaking hands now, the referee. That's it. We're done here. Absolute carnage in the last few minutes here at Roots Hall.
I know as professional broadcasters, we're supposed to say, oh, that's the last thing you want to see in football. I absolutely loved every
absolutely.
Minute of that.
No question.
Absolutely
about it.
Brilliant. It's the only thing I was talking about when I got to my mate's house last night after the game. I forgot even to tell him the score. I said, oh, you should have seen this fight. Three red cards. Have you ever seen a game end like that?
I'm old, so I've seen a few brawls in my time, but that's up there.
Been involved in quite a few as well, I imagine, yeah.
But there's a couple of things that spring to mind from that when I was listening back. The first one is apologies, because you wouldn't know this, but where you commentate on in South End, you're in a greenhouse anyway, and there's a huge steel girder just to the right, which is basically obscures most of the goal, effectively, where I was positioned. And so all I could see when the corner came in was Jason Pearce. So I'm assuming the ball's heading towards him, and then Billick Rice was obviously standing in that very spot, so I didn't see him come until he made that move and connected with the header. So that's why I thought it was going towards Pearce. And secondly, and a few people have asked me this over the years, one of the reasons that not just myself but the group of us got together and tried to promise Charlton fans that we'd bring them a Charlton bias commentary somehow, somewhere, and we're not fully there yet because it's still not free, but that's the next aim. It's exactly the reason that you could hear the South End. He was BBC, right? BBC, the impartiality of the BBC. He's a South End fan. And I don't blame him for that, by the way. And it's fantastic that he is. But if you were listening, if you'd got the BBC coverage, it would have been him.
Yeah.
Which was 100% South End. And that's the reason why we started this whole shebang to try and get commentary for Charlton. We're not there yet. Hopefully, in the not-too-distant future.
Sounds like you're trying to get my job there.
No, no, no. Yeah, but that's why we're there, and it's exactly why you've got that. You know what I mean? So, you wouldn't have got that gig at Southend, would you?
No, certainly
you'd
not.
He would have been it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Amy pointed out, actually, that he's very loud. It's Nick Annika from BBC Essex. They put all the commentators, they're all sat next to each other, so they're all shouting
and actually,
over.
There was only, there's only three of us that yesterday. Normally, there's about five or six. It's even worse than that.
Yeah, but yeah, so excellent to hear the highlights of the fight and the football, the most important bit there, I guess. I mean, we'll talk about the fight more in detail later on, because we've all seen close-up videos of what happened and enjoyed them and watched them over and over again. But, you know, in terms of the actual game, do you think we were the team that probably edged it?
Yeah,
and we were certainly the team that looked more likely to score as we were approaching 90 minutes.
Yeah, I think we absolutely edged the first half. I think we had the better chances. I think we that diamond formation that Lee Bowyer put together pretty much controlled the game, with a couple of exceptions. I don't think they really troubled us. You had that shot from Dimitriou that just he screwed wide, which probably should have done better with, and then there was a shot from, I think, what was his name? Trying to think of the guy's name, McLaughlin. That was it, that fired well over. But second half, before we actually scored, I thought that 10-minute spell was probably some of the worst football I've ever seen. It was awful from both sides. Nobody could string a pass together. People were making mistakes left, right and centre. It was a really scrappy 10 minutes. And then we put together a little passage play down that right-hand side with Chris Solly and I think it was Nicky Ajoze alongside him, who I thought actually, and for the most part, played really well yesterday. I think he went a little bit missing towards the latter end of the game, but maybe that's because he hasn't played much football. I don't know, but first half and first portion of the second half, I thought he was great. And they combined one lovely knock down the line from Chris Solly into space. And that's what Carlin loves with his pace, I would have thought. And up against Dawson. Turner.
Turner, yeah.
Turner, who won, formerly of us, of course, back in the day. Not exactly a lightning turn of speed, but he just managed to get his body in front. So he did his job quite well up to that point, you think. Now, about 5 minutes earlier, Pearce did exactly the same thing in the opposite corner. Realised he wasn't going anywhere, so just hit Rosette. Just put it straight out of play. Don't take risks. You're in the corner. You're up against a decent striker. Just hit Rosette. Well, Turner didn't really follow his lead. I don't know what he was trying to do.
Well, just the manner of that dive. Because it's one of those ones where, to be fair, I've seen the foul given in that case. And I'm sure we've won them ourselves this season. Maybe where so. Basically... a defender just throws himself to the floor under the most minor of contacts. Now, I think I have to admit, actually, I think the ref probably overall did pretty well yesterday in first, because there was a dive from Lewis Page in the first half that he didn't give. He booked Fosu for diving. Well, that was maybe a question mark, because I'm not sure whether he was actually after a penalty.
I don't know if he literally just fell over.
But then obviously he handled the fight at the end quite well. But in this particular case, I mean, Turner's quite clearly just thrown himself to the ground, hoping to get a free kick. The linesman's right there. The referee's not too far away. They've both gone, what are you doing? And he's gifted us position in a very good position. And Carlin's still had work to do. Got towards that byline, putting across. I mean, Taylor won't score an easier goal in his career. But, I mean, Michael Turner's really got to look at himself for that
both
one.
Both goals, as it turns out. But, yeah, I mean, he clearly made a mistake. He should have. He probably knew when Carlin was all over him that he should have hit Rose Ed. By the time he'd realised that, it was too late. So he had to do something. And rather than lose the ball, he thought, I'll go down and I'm bound to get a foul. But he went down fairly theatrically as well and landed on his backside. And Carlin almost with his hands up in the air. I don't think he did, but you could clearly see he didn't make any contact. So to give a, and most referees are a bit soft in that respect. But I don't think even this, you know, any referee would have been justified to give that, because they're thinking, well, actually, he never touched you.
It's funny, on last week's show, we were talking about like the link-up play between the two strikers, and how last week against Fleetwood, there was a couple of times, particularly in the second half, where Taylor was trying to find Carlin Grant when it wasn't the opportunity. Now, I think just how wide he was for Grant meant there was no option other than to square it. But it is good to see that they're starting to get this sort of connection, this understanding between the two of them.
Look up. it's not rocket science, is it? And look, as a striker, you get it that they're going to want to score. That's the name of the game. But you know, the team scoring rather than you taking a chance rather than putting it on somebody's on a plate for your other striker. So the team scores rather than you is something that you learn as you grow up, I suppose. And yesterday was the first, not first sign, that's probably unfair, but it was a sign of it growing,
and
that partnership.
And it is nice just to see in Taylor, you know, a natural goal scorer, someone who's actually going to be in that position, because how many times last season, perhaps, were we hoping that Josh McGinnis would be like there on the line?
He'd have probably drifted away to the far post, Josh, wouldn't he, for that chip ball to head in.
And so good to see that Lyle Taylor's got off on the mark and started the season really well so far. Is it four now he's on, I think, three or four? Obviously, the lead didn't last very long. Very disappointing. I hadn't even gone on air to talk about us taking the lead. In fact, I think I was just on air when we conceded. I can't remember if I said it on the show on Thursday, but I certainly thought it after. You know, we'd spent the entire week bigging up Dylan Phillips after, you know, some great comments from him after the Fleetwood game, and he made some good saves, kept his first clean sheet of the season. But he's going to be disappointed with that one.
Yeah, he is. He should have. His left hand should have been stronger. Having said that, and I mentioned it yesterday, is the left hand being stronger, would it have made a difference? I can't remember, and I'd have to see it back, whether there was any Southend players still on hand straight in front of him, because there's no way he's grabbing it. He could only get a stronger left hand to it to maybe not, so it wouldn't go underneath it. But that doesn't necessarily mean there wouldn't have been a Southend player following that up. So it still might have ended up in a goal. The thing, and it shouldn't detract away from the fact that we left them all alone on that on our right hand side.
Well, it started off with a quick free kick on the left hand side, and Bowes was saying that Pagey perhaps was sort of out of position, and then Solly couldn't get back in time. He had an acre of space. It was Coker who drove it towards the goal, and that's just a concentration thing. I mean, overall we didn't defend too badly yesterday, but you can't switch off at any point.
No, I agree, and it might be why we are in middle of League One and not anywhere.
As the game, obviously, as the game was progressing, like I say, towards the last 10 minutes, you know, whereas I felt throughout perhaps the first hour it'd actually been pretty even, very even, particularly in the first half. We were the team in the ascendancy at the end, and we had a flurry of corners. We had that effort from Piercy that was deflected over. Before that, we'd already seen Carlin have it in the net, but the flag raised again. I'd have to see that again to see.
I think he was. I think I said on commentary there, Jose, I don't think he was running through, and I'm wondering, I'd like to ask George Lapsley whether he was actually aiming for Nicky Ajoze, because Ajoze was making the deeper run. But you can't. Carlin's not going to know that. Particularly, ball's going to drop to his feet. You're going to put it away.
Yeah, but it was us in the ascendancy, and then it was from Piercy's shot that deflected just over. We heard it in the commentary. Went straight to the next corner, and that's where it was again. Turner. We spoke to Billick after the game yesterday, and you'll be able to read that tomorrow in the South London Press. But Billick was moaning that the biggest centre half was marking me, and he said he was sad because of that. But he made us all happy just moments later, because he lost him, and it's a bullet header. I ain't seen such a header of the ball like that for a little while. And so, I mean, the scenes, the limbs in that away end were quite impressive from where we were. Yeah.
Well, the support all afternoon was amazing, and they said there was 1,500 in there. That stand, I think, holds 2,200. Now, did you see 700 empty seats? I'm not sure I did. So yeah. I'd be a little surprised if it was just 1500. I don't know quite how these things work, but it looked fuller to me. But anyway, it doesn't matter. They made their presence felt all game, and especially after the second goal. Fantastic scenes at the back there, and even from Billing himself, who admitted that he didn't really know what to do.
Yeah, but he did really well to get beyond. It was just a little bit of pace, because again, when I saw it in real time, it looked to me like he was completely unmarked. And you watch it back, and Turner is nearby, but he's just been caught on the hop a little bit as the ball's come in into a good area. There's plenty of space for him to attack Billy, because a good ball in from Cullen on his debut. But yeah, again, Turner, what's he doing?
Well, again, a couple of things there. Cullen's delivery all game was superb, I think, for every set piece, and that bodes well for the future. But I think, like me, on the contrary, I think probably as most of the game, it was either going to Bauer or Pierce. In that penalty spot, I'm guessing that Dawson thought, well, you know, I've got Billick, the ball's never gone to him for the whole game, why should it now? And switched off. Christian still had work to do, still had to meet the ball with and the pace of the cross allowed him to bullet the header past the keeper. But you still had to be there, still had to get it on target, and it was a great finish.
And then, of course, we just wanted to just see the rest of the game out, no incident, and that's exactly what we were trying to do. as Tariq Fossey ran over to the far corner with the ball. Ironically, he went down quite easily in the corner now when I've seen it from the other angle. But then because of that, Kiteley's given him a kick up the arse, which he can't do.
The strange thing with that, the whole incident, and you're right. Well, I mean, when you watch it back, I mean, it was in an area of the pitch. It couldn't have been further away from us if it tried. So we saw Fossu go down. So we initially thought that was the tackle that prompted the whole thing, prompted Fossu to jump up and do what he did to Kiteley. That's not true. He went down under pressure, expecting to get a foul. Maybe he went down too easily, I don't know. And then Kiteley, while he's on the floor, launches himself at, you know, with a swinging right foot, straight at Tariq's legs, because the ball's nowhere near it. And that's what prompted Tariq to jump up and do what he did to him.
It was a
headbutt.
Well, yeah.
I'm not so sure. No, I'm not. Yeah, again... But the referee, apparently in the post-match, and we'll hear Lee Bowyer in a second, I'm sure, confirm it, said that the initial tackle was knee-high.
Yeah, I don't know where he got that from, because it clearly wasn't. Yeah.
Exactly. So I don't know quite what the first bit, I think you might have guessed the first bit.
Yeah, unless there was just a breakdown in communication, maybe he got something from his linesman, linesman was on our side, actually, yeah. So it would have been just as far away from it from the rest of us. I mean, it was an almighty bundle. I've never seen so many people get involved.
If you're Tariq Fossey, though, and you've just spent how many months out, and you've got a slightly tricky hamstring anyway, you're not going to take kindly to that. And I know everybody will turn around and say, oh, he should keep his head, oh, he should keep his cool. I challenge any of us not to have reacted in the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I love Bowes, and of course, but it must be so hard for someone who's had the career he's had to then have to turn around and say, oh, you shouldn't be doing that.
You should be calming down, lad.
Yeah, but,
just going to watch a rerun of your video.
Yeah, I mean, he's talking from experience there very much so, and I guess he learned throughout his career that he can't go around fighting with teammates or anyone else on the pitch. But, you know, he's been there and he's done that, and that's why I think he understands why it happens. The reaction of the goalkeeper, Mark Oxley, I mean, that was a bit odd. I mean, when it's not your fight. I mean, it's a fight between Tariq Fossu and Michael Kiteley.
That's the other thing.
Why is he bowling in and getting involved?
I'm assuming he's going for Tariq initially, because he may have seen what Tariq did to Kiteley. So he's run from his penalty area. He's probably also seriously ticked off that they're losing, and he's let a goal in. And then I think George tried to block his path or tried to get in his way. And he took exception to that and launched himself at his face.
Yeah.
And then George pushed. Fair credit to George, by the way. I mean, how old is he?
Was he 18? Is he 19?
Not
going to
stand him for that and give him a shove back. And I think every single Southend player should be sending Dylan Phillips a thank you card. Because if he hadn't stopped Jason Pearce, he was a man possessed. I mean, you could just see him. And you could see his face. He was seething. Yeah. And I love to see that. As your captain, he's not going to stand for anything else. If Dylan Phillips hadn't dragged him away, he'd have got a red card, no question about it.
Yeah, the NHS had put Southend General Hospital on a red alert when they saw Pearcey coming down. But luckily, they say he was stopped. Yeah, bizarre behaviour from Mark, like I say, Mark Oxley, because it wasn't his fight. I mean, Lapsley was... Clearly, everyone was running in there to try and... break up the two, but then he came in and just threw a punch that you rarely see a punch like that. I mean, I was going to report him to the NSPCC because I mean, George Lapsley's just a youngster. I did sort of make a joke on Twitter. I was listing off all the red cards, and I made a joke, oh, George only got booked, he must be a massive wuss or something for not getting involved. But he did get involved there, like the rest of them. Final whistle goes. I mean, after that, it didn't really feel like there was anything else was going to happen after that. It felt like the game just played out for the last 2 minutes or so.
Yeah, and I think the most bizarre thing after that, though, there was Southend 2-1 down, wanting to get back into the game, obviously, with only 30 seconds remaining. And their fans keep the ball.
Yes, that was weird. That was odd. Yeah, if you weren't there. So basically, there was a group of fans over on the far side, probably the nearest to the Charlton fans. So I think the Southend hardcore, if that's probably the wrong term, but the shouty children go and stand as near to the away end as possible, and then a Charlton few went and stood in that corner as well. Obviously, we had the upper hand at that point. We were winning, and for some reason, the Southend fans thought it would be a good idea to not give the ball back for over a minute and a half. Well, just waste. I was like, you're wasting your own time here, chaps, because we're winning and you're losing.
Happy days.
Yeah. Yeah, final score then. So in the context of the season, second win of the season, you know, you're trying to think about now the fact that people are coming back, our loan signings are coming in now. You know, are we going to try and see this hopefully as the result that's going to properly kickstart our season now?
Can I say, can we do that the week after next?
Yeah.
Because this Saturday, we will have Tariq Fosu now missing. We will have Cullen missing because of international duty.
Yep.
We will have Ward missing because of international duty. And so the squad then becomes just a little bit more as threadbare as it was before they arrived.
Yes.
So the recovery, I think, starts week Saturday, not Saturday.
I was desperately trying to find confirmation that Cullen's actually been called up. But
according to everything
I was told yesterday. According to what Bowie was saying yesterday, he has. But I couldn't actually find that. So unless, hopefully there hasn't been a breakdown in communication. But we were told yesterday that Cullen's going to go off on international duty. He's Irish, isn't he? So so he's 22. So is there so he'd be too old for the under-21s.
So. You're allowed one overage player, so maybe he's that. But I don't know if there's an under-23 game. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think it goes up to that level.
Doesn't it? I don't
know. Not as far as I know, anyway. I mean, Cullen was bought in from the start, actually. That's one of the things we didn't really talk about the team news at the start, because there were a couple of surprises there. Cullen coming straight in was perhaps a bit of a surprise. It obviously helped that Aribo was out injured. And then the other one, of course, Nicky Ajose coming in. So I didn't see that coming at all. Piercy was the other starter who hadn't started the previous game against Fleetwood. But, I mean, Ajose was very much a surprise inclusion for myself.
And me, to be fair. And I mean, with respect, though, I mean, when he came on against Fleetwood, I thought he played well, and so deserved his chance, I guess. And you've got to give Bowie credit for that, I think, because obviously there's players that he might not fancy as much as others, in a footballing sense, obviously. And I think Tariq Fosu and Mark Marshall are probably in that category. But if he thinks that a player can do a job, he's clearly not scared or not worried about putting him in. And I think Nicky Ajose repaid that, because I thought, as I said, for at least 60 to 65 minutes yesterday, I thought he was outstanding.
Yeah, and Cullen stepping in for his debut. I mean, like I say, you've already talked about his set pieces. Again, he really impressed me.
Took about 10 minutes to get into the game, I think. He was doing a lot of movement without actually receiving the ball. Maybe that's down to his colleagues rather than himself, perhaps. But as soon as he started getting on the ball and turning and facing the opposite direction, he looked threatening. As we found with the set pieces, he can find a player. So I think he's going to be a good player for us. I really do.
So I guess it maybe take a little while for his teammates to sort of catch up with him. He's one of those sort of players, but he played 40 times for Bradford City in the league.
When they got to the playoff final.
Obviously, lost to Millwall. So he's got experience in this league. He's got experience of going far at the top end in this league. So hopefully that'll be. The match winner yesterday, obviously, Christian Billick. Asked to play pretty much everywhere, it seems. He joked yesterday he'd play up front if he had to. But, you know, he started off in the midfield, dropped back into the defence after Bauer went off. But especially when he was in the midfield, the amount of times in that first half where Southend were coming forward and he just stepped in and just almost going about his business quietly, because it wasn't like big challenges. It was just being in the right place at the right time to step in and to take the pressure off the defence.
And again, you think he's only, is he 20, 21?
20.
20. I mean, he's a 20-year-old. He reminds me as a 20-year-old of Gomez. He's got that calmness about him.
Mm.
You can tell that obviously in the recent past, he's only played under-23 football. He admits it himself, you know, he gets more time playing under 20, you know, in under 23 level than you do here. So it's a few times he gets caught on the ball when he thinks he's got more time than he has. But I don't want it to detract away from his general performances, because I think I'd be my man of the match yesterday anyway. I think he's been again outstanding since he came to us. You can just see that he's probably a different class to some of our players.
Yeah, certainly, and
a different level. Maybe, I mean, there's, bear in mind he's obviously from Arsenal. You just get the feeling he's progressed even at 20 more so than our crop.
Yeah, I mean, because you know we look at some of the signings we've had from Arsenal over the years, and some of them have clearly had that star quality. When you think of Francis Coquelin and Alex Song, if we're going all the way back to the Premier League days. But at the same time, you know, Emmanuel Frimpong, Yaya Sanogo. I mean, Steffi Mavadidi was probably in the middle. But some, you know, just because you come from Arsenal, it doesn't mean you're going to be a good player.
No, that's true, of course. They're going to be a few pups, but this guy certainly isn't.
Yeah, I hated Emmanuel Frimpong when he was here, by the way.
Because of his name?
Well, no, just because of that stupid hat thing he used to do, dench hats. Yeah, I was thinking earlier while I was writing his name down for something, like, why was it? I wonder what he's up to now.
I think possibly because he saw his career elsewhere, I think.
If he's in the fashion industry now, I'd be interested to know. Like I say, Piercy back yesterday. I thought Naby's actually not been too bad over the last few weeks, but it's always going to be Piercy that's going to come in ahead of him. And, I mean, he is a big, big player for us.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you'd like to know what the win percentage is with him and without him, but I suspect we're better off with him, without question.
Yeah, he looked a very calm influence.
He's just, he's your captain, I think. Even when he wasn't our captain, I think people, you know, you look at him as a captain's a style of captain, because he just leaves it all out there. You know, we saw the friendlies, the pre-season friendlies. Crawley?
Crawley, yeah.
He was up for a fight that day as well.
Someone went in strong and forced Kasky, didn't he?
He went into the length for the pitch virtually to take him out.
Excellent stuff.
It's just the nature of who he is, and I think that breeds a positivity in the squad.
Excellent. Right, don't forget, we want to hear what you guys made of yesterday's performance and, of course, the fight and anything else you want to say. We've put it out there now about the squad. I've listed all the players that have come in and gone out. I've only listed first team players, so obviously there's a few, the likes of Hanlon, for example, who have gone out who haven't counted. But I think I've got everyone there. So let me know how you think the squad has shaped up now. Do you think we're in a better position than maybe this time last year or the end of last season? Or do you think we're in a worse position? Let us know. studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. Head over to the Charlton Live forum if you want as well. There's a thread on there for tonight's show. Right, after the game yesterday, caught up with Lee Bowyer. Obviously, it was a chaotic end to the game, but he wasn't going to let that overshadow the fact that his team went to Southend and got a great result.
3 points, well deserved, I think. I think when we came here last season, we got beat up and we lost 3-0. I just said to him, look, you stood up and you competed as men, and you play. They can play. So we've got a bit of everything now, you know, and to come into these places, which is going to be hard. It's always going to be hard. But now we've got people that can compete, and we've got a good mixture, and I think that showed today.
Chaotic scenes at the end there. Tariq Fosu showing a red card and two Southend men as well. Did you have a view on what happened?
No, it couldn't have been any further. If they tried, it's like they were trying to hide from it. But the ref said that, obviously I asked the ref after the game, he said that the man tackled Tariq knee high, and Tariq's reaction was a headbutt. I haven't seen it yet. Our analysis fella's still up in the gantry, so that's what the ref told me. Obviously, I'll have a look after. That's what it is. If that is the truth, then obviously he's going to be banned now anyway for 3 games. So that's a massive loss. We've only just got him back. It's the first time he's got any minutes since he's been injured. And now we're going to lose him for 3 games, which is a massive loss. He's a big player for us, you know. But I understand heat at the moment, and bad tackles like that can ruin people's careers. So I understand why people react the way they do at times. But I just said to him, you have to learn from that. And if that is the case, then you can't be doing that again.
It's keenly contested affair throughout, but it was your team that was in the ascendancy at the end, and I think that you deserved that when Billy got his header.
Yep, great for Christian. Great ball from Josh. So two signings have combined there, and nothing from start to finish, really. They had even from their goal, it was from us. Pagey left back at it, took too many touches, got caught. They switched it quick. The only time, really, they created a 2v1 down our sides, you know. And they got a tap in. But apart from that, I thought we defended very, very well. Passed the ball very, very well. And on another day, we can score another 2-3 goals, you know. Nicky had a great chance first half, and again, we got into good areas, you know. So at least we got a couple of goals today, and we'll take these 3 points and move on until Saturday.
You mentioned your loan signings there. You got two in this week and got to see one of them today in Josh Cullen. What did you make of his debut?
Very good, very good. He's got a great engine. Obviously, he cramped up a little bit at the end there, but and what I was asking him and Prattley to do, Prattley tired as well. It's very hard for the play the diamond, and the left and the right of the diamond is very demanding. You know, they've got to go out to fullbacks and back in. So obviously Josh hasn't really had to do that before. So, but I thought he was outstanding. He competed, he passed the ball well and got in the box. A couple of times, first half, he put a great header back across, you know. So I thought it was a very good debut, yeah.
Good news that you were able to bring back Pierce and Fosu into the team. You've lost Joe Rebo. Is that anything too serious?
No, I don't think it's too serious. I'm hoping to have him back maybe Thursday training with us. That's the plan. But we ain't going to rush anything, you know, because I just want to try and keep them all fit now. And if I can do that, then I'll try and manage their games and their minutes and try and keep them all fit as much as possible. I rotate things, and because they're all good players, so I think that we've got a good squad, and I have to try and look after certain people.
And no Mark Marshall in the squad today. Is he injured as well?
No, Mark Marshall's not injured. George Lapsley's been excellent, and he deserved to be on the bench in front of Mark Marshall.
Obviously, the loan window's closed now, so you know what your squad is up until January at the very least. Are you happy you've got what you needed now?
Yeah. I've got what I needed, what I've been planning. Obviously, a lot of them players was our targets. We was lucky to get Wald yesterday. Cullen, it just fell into place with us. So obviously, I'm grateful to all the clubs that have loaned us their players. Christian today scoring, you know. It's been a great window for me. I think we've got we've brought in some very good additions to the squad.
And also, you're happy with your business throughout the window, but you, yourself, your own position, you're still officially the caretaker. Are you any closer to having that confirmed?
No, it's the end of the month. The most important thing for me is not myself, was the club and the players we bring in. That was the most important thing for me. And now that that's done, then obviously now I will go to the owner and see if we can sort something out regarding myself.
Thanks, Lee.
Thank you.
Christian showed his class today, filling in three roles for you today as sort of defensive midfielder, centre-half and match winner.
Yeah, very good player. That's why we want to bring him in. He's good at everything. We said he can play centre-half, he can play in the middle of the park, and today he's just shown that, you know. Very good on the ball at times, took too many touches, but that's 23's football. He thinks he can dribble from the back, go past four players, and that's normal. It's not normal, not in men's football. So he still has to learn, and that's why he's with us, because he's an exceptional player. You can see he's an exceptional player, but he needs to learn, and he will learn under us, because we're telling him the right things to do.
There's no reason why a player shouldn't celebrate a late winner with a manager, but was there any particular reason why Christian did come in running over to you? Something you'd spoken to him about at corners, attacking balls, or
no? I think I was just the only person that he could see at that time, I guess, and I was obviously celebrating as well. So yeah, but it was good. Everyone, it means a lot to everybody, you know. They work hard every day, and to come here and get 3 points, especially after last season, it's not an easy place to come, and in this physical, and you have to battle. But I think we've done that, and we played. So. Yeah, to get the 3 points was very good for us.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns.
Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Silver steps in, wins it back for Charlton, comes away on a run and then feeds Fosu over halfway. Fosu on the left hand side, they're heading towards the penalty area, looking to take on Pond, gets in the box, is he going to fall over? No, he's got it, Douglas! There's number three!
Terry shouting out, there's number three as the third red card.
No, it's just the hat-trick and three. That's what I was laughing at. Like, nobody else would know that hat-trick means three goals.
If I was quicker, I would have... if I thought this earlier, I would have been editing that Jose Mourinho press conference. You know what this means? Three red cards, three Premier League titles. Something along those lines. Great to hear from Lee Bowyer after yesterday's win down at Southend United. Plenty of good stuff there from Bowes. I don't know if it's just me, I think it's getting a bit more a bit more open with the press now and stuff. Like, I think at the end of last season he seemed a bit old, but now he's cracking jokes and stuff.
He's bound to be more relaxed. But as you said, he doesn't really yet know what his future holds. And you'd expect him to be given the job, but then expecting what should be happen, and especially with our setup at the minute, might be a bit of a leap too far.
Yeah, because I've got that as one of our points because I want to speak to you. So obviously, we were told in the summer that he expected to have his job made permanent before the start of the season if the takeover hadn't gone through. Then I believe he said something about the end of the month, which obviously now has been reached, which is why I asked the question yesterday. And now we're saying he's going to go to the owner and expect to make a deal. Because I think when you think about the phrase deal, I mean, he won't have be on any different contract to what he was when he first joined when he first got made the assistant manager. So,
don't hold your breath, Lee.
Yeah. So I mean, we know that Roland doesn't want to be spending much more money than what he needs to at the moment. But I mean, if Bowyer goes to him now and he still won't make him the permanent manager, I mean, Lee would be well within his right to say, look, I've been doing this job for a long time now. If you're not going to give me the job, then I'll walk away.
Yeah, and as you say, who would blame him? But, if you're going back to this is what he was promised or this is what was said, we've had a catalogue of those over the last, how many years? But certainly since the summer, where things are supposed to have been happening and they haven't been. And we've got multiple different stories coming out of official circles, and then find out that it's actually not quite like that. So if Lee Bowyer has been told one thing from the official circles I speak of, I wouldn't necessarily put stake me mortgage on it, put it that way.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the job he's done overall, I mean, I don't think I've heard a Charlton fan say a bad word against him yet. And in particular, I'm focusing on the transfer business in this summer, because we know, I mean, it's quite clear that the budget would have been cut, and he's been working, not quite with his hands tied behind his back, but certainly in very difficult circumstances. And he said all summer that he's going to be patient and he's only going to pick up players that are going to improve the squad. Now, at times during the summer, I was thinking, just get anyone. I just want some bodies. I just want some bodies in there just to be on the safe side. But he stuck to his word, and the signings he's made, from what we've seen from who's come in so far, I mean, obviously we haven't seen Jed Steer, the goalkeeper, yet, but everyone else has looked pretty impressive so far.
Well, what he said was he only wants players through the door that are going to make the squad better. Everybody's a football manager, right? So we're thinking, well, he'd make us better, and he'd make us better, and he'd definitely make us better. But, there's only a few people's opinions that count, and, of course, that's Bowyer Jackson. And, by the way, we should mention Steve Gallen, the head of recruitment, in that as well, because he's the one that actually does most of the chasing and before it even gets to, well, I'm assuming Bowyer Jackson and Gannon get together and say, well, these players are the quality we're looking for, right, you go and get them. And he's done a great job in doing that. It's taken a little while to get over the line, especially the Cullen one. But we've got him, and we haven't seen Ward yet, but he's played against us and scored against us. So
every time, it seems.
He comes with a reputation that that we can utilise. So, I think you were talking before about the squad and what's it look like now. And if you take this weekend out of the equation because of international duties, it's considerably stronger. Bearing in mind, you know, obviously another few injuries could knock us back again.
Are you saying that it's stronger than the start of this season? So September, so but not what I mean, because I'm just interested to find out what people think in comparison to last season as well. So like I say, we'll have that conversation. There's a tweet out there on the Charlton Live account. You guys need to start replying to it, saying, you know, how do you rate our transfer business during the summer and our squad now? Because the window's closed now. This is how we are. I want to know what you guys think. Are we strong enough to challenge, which is what Lebo has been talking about for promotion, or to stay up in the top half, or to avoid a relegation battle, which some of us were worried about at the start of the season? Then, you know, let us know where you think we are. So reply to that tweet on the Charlton Live account, or studio at charltonlive.co.uk, or like I say, head over to the Charlton Live forum. Emmanuel Fringpong update. I asked the question and two of you answered. London Innitgeezer says he's now a free agent. And at present, and he's a cousin of Lethal Bizzle, some grimy rap geezer, according to Wikipedia.
Mike down with the kids there.
Yeah, clearly. I've heard of Lethal Bizzle. He was in on the hat business as well, if I remember rightly. Richard Justin said that he pointed out that before he was a free agent, he was actually playing in Cyprus for a team called Ermis Arapidapidou.
I checked these. He made 12 appearances last season.
Yeah.
No goals, 6 yellow cards.
Well, that's good. Good to hear. Yeah, I mean, are they giants of the Cypriot game?
Funnily enough, I'm not overly au fait with the Cypriot First Division, but I'll try and gen up.
Try and find out about that. Right, a couple of other things that come out by this thing now. Richard also asked what the situation with Bauer's injury. Now, I completely forgot to ask Bauer in my interview. Did you get anything on Bauer? Because he came off. I mean, what did he hurt his head, someone say?
Well, I mean, I mentioned it on commentary at the time. When he made that challenge, which was a bit half-hearted, to be fair, so he probably was a victim of his own...
cowardice.
Well, no, that's probably strong. Victim, he didn't go in hard enough, basically put it that way. And
he wouldn't have lasted in the brawl.
As he fell... his head sort of smacked against turf quite hard. So I said at the time, I think, oh, that would have hurt his head, no question about it, because he did land awkwardly and his head took the full force. So whether or not there was a concussion, or to be honest, I think I don't think he was having his best game, Patrick Bauer, if I'm honest, because I think their front two were mobile, they were strong, and I think he was being bullied a little bit more than he's used to. And so I think the change... actually worked in our favour. Whether or not Lee would have made that change had Patrick not been injured, I don't know.
Hopefully it'll be nothing too serious. Like I said, we knew about the Aribo hip injury when the team news came out. Boya said they're not too serious. Hopefully he'll be back in training on Thursday. And then the other one that was quite obvious was that Marshall wasn't in the 16 at all, or the 17, 18, 18. 7 subs, 11, yeah, 18. Marshall wasn't in the 18 at all. He wasn't in the match day squad. I asked if he was injured, and he wasn't. He's been dropped.
He just said he wasn't in the reckoning because according to Lee, the 18 that were out there were better than he was. So that's pretty much, it was as blunt as you can get, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
You get the feeling that it'll be a case of when everybody's fit and when everybody's in the reckoning for the squad, I would be surprised if Mark Marshall and Nicky Jose figure a lot.
Well, in particular Marshall, unfortunately. Yeah. Jose, a couple of times now, you could say that he's put in a couple of decent performances this season. When he came on against Peterborough, made us look more likely until we went on to lose that game. And yesterday he was putting himself about. I mean, he should have scored that chance. That chance. End of the first half, a deep cross, I think it was, from Page. He found him. He brought it down well, but he was in an absolute acre of space and he half volleyed it past the far post, and he really should have scored.
I think one of the things that strikes me about Nicky Jose is that he goes for the spectacular. And if he'd have just brought it down and leathered it goal-bound... and on target, he'd have had a better chance of scoring, but it looked like he tried to do something special with the outside of his boot. And you think, just do it normal. Just, you know, just do what you can do, because he did all the hard work. And I don't want that to detract away, because I said it before, I thought he played really well yesterday.
Yeah. Right, let's have a look at some of the tweets that started coming in earlier on today. If you want to have your say, tweet us at Charlton Live, email studio at charltonlive.co.uk, or head over to the Charlton Live forum for the thread on there. Charlton XL, I thought we hadn't heard from him or her for a while, and he says, so now that it's September and my holidays are all over, I can get back to the football. So what's been going on in SE7 then? I mean,
how long you got?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna have to throw some crisps at you, just, and that's only half the story. But yeah, good to have you back, Charlton XL. Kai says it was a good performance, deserved the win, still room for improvement, and the fans were incredible as always. I mean, as it is only our second win of the season, and you'll always find there's room for improvement. I mean, what bits from yesterday do you think that we could improve on?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think we played a very narrow diamond yesterday, and I think that sometimes, in my opinion at least, makes us less of an attacking force. And I think I'd like to see us play with a bit more width. I think Tariq Fosu, when he came on, showed glimpses before he departed.
He could improve his headbutts.
That he's got that, because when you're playing that that narrow and it is quite a tight game, you need players who can open up defences, and Tariq's one of those. Joe Rebo, potentially another, if he plays to his full potential. And I think I'd probably say that Tariq would be a fit Tariq would be in the first round. Yeah. And when you think about it, how much of a decision has Lee Bay got to make when everybody's back fit, by the way?
Yeah. Were you surprised to see Tariq involved yesterday? Because obviously, like, I don't think he's made any 23s minutes. He's thrown in with half an hour less, which I was slightly surprised by. I mean, if we're absolutely clutching at straws, another 3 games rest to get him properly fit might not be the worst thing, although you really do need minutes to get your proper fitness. But were you surprised to see him come in so soon?
A little bit, yeah. I wasn't surprised. Obviously, when Bauer went off, we sort of both thought, would Naby Sarr come on, or you have the option of dropping Bellick into that
spot. And that saves the substitution as
well.
Saves
the substitution. I then expected George Lepter to come on first, if I'm honest, because I thought, well, give Tariq a chance to rest. But clearly, they think he was up for it. I know that prior to this latest injury, I think they had been misdiagnosing is the right word, but after this particular problem with the hamstring, they actually identified exactly what the problem is, which seemed to have been elusive before that. So obviously, if they've identified exactly what it is, rectified it, they know they're then quite happy and safe that it's not going to go again.
He's probably got a headache as well now.
Probably famous last words. But,
yeah. Yeah, we'll see. CFC Jedi said he or she watched the highlights from yesterday's win and is looking forward to the summary from us on their train to work tomorrow. So I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Daniel Trafin, one of our regular emailers, has tweeted in saying, I'm coming over in a few weeks from Australia. The iFollow coverage is okay, but it's not the same as being there. The footage from the game yesterday reminds me of going away in the 90s. Boya and JJ can get us up. And he's put headstrong again. I'm not sure if that's referring to the mental capacity of the management or indeed Tariq Fosu, who dealt out the headbutt. Right, now, we were talking about this off air before the show started. Now, I've christened it the Battle of Roots Hall, just because, you know, I know we had the Battle of Stamford Bridge back in the day, Battle of the Bridge.
Mike, Gazer mentioned it, didn't he?
Yeah, Mike's not happy. He says it doesn't have the same ring to it as the famous Battle of the Bridge in 1988. So I can put this out to you guys as well, and Terry, you can have your say. What should we rename the Battle of Roots Hall? The Skirmish of Southend?
Well, I've got a couple.
Yeah, go on then, tell.
The Rumble at Roots Hall is one. The scrap at
Southend. So if you want to have your say on what we should rename the Battle of Southend or the Battle of Roots Hall, let us know at Charlton Live Studio at charltonlive.co.uk. Tweet us at Charlton Live. Right, Mark Anderson said, stay away or go to the match. All I do know is that Charlton fans yesterday united got those players together and over the line. Says together, believe me, united we are strong. Like I say, there was a lot of Charlton fans there yesterday. That was one of my only complaints about yesterday, was because we were in that stupid greenhouse thing, so we were all shouting over each other, so you couldn't hear the Charlton fans as well, but we could still hear them because they were singing very loud.
Oh, they were awesome yesterday. Mm. And Southend, actually, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Rootsall, generally speaking, mainly because we tend to go there in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
And we tend to lose. Other than that, yesterday was gorgeous sunshine, and the stadium itself, when it's full, because it's quite a compact stadium, does lend itself to a really good atmosphere when it gets rocking, especially in the way in, because it's quite a low roof, and when it's full, and it was pretty much yesterday, the fans made some fantastic noise start to finish, and the obligatory smoke bomb went off.
Yeah, I remember the limbs in that little way, and when Carl Reid scored that winning goal in 2010, the only time
which was the last time we won there, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's only, I mean, because we lost obviously last year on Boxing Day, and the year before was New Year's Eve, and we drew 1-1. So it was only the third game since our last victory there. But yeah, in that 2010 one, when Carl Reid scored the winning goal, my dad managed to elbow me and split my lip open.
Yeah, he's probably been looking for a reason to do that for ages.
Yeah. Right, F. James, our performance was gritty and determined, a strength that was missing last season. We have good quality coming in now. We have quality yet to come back. Give us time and we will be champions. No, I'm not drunk. I know what I see, and I have enough years of knowledge too. I mean, are we now title contenders, is what Ev's asking.
Well, yeah, Ev is probably the most positive person I've ever come across.
Well, this time last week, he was writing us off as well.
And it is infectious. I think if we can stay fit as a squad, when you consider what we did against Sunderland, we consider what we did against Peterborough, both of whom are supposed to be going to be contesting for the top sort of three or four top four spaces, let's say, with the players we've got now, and considering those that are coming back, I think we could easily challenge.
Yeah. Well, I think,
assuming we stay fit.
Yeah, I think top six is what will probably be our aim, but we'll see. Billy says, great performance yesterday from the boys. Makes all the difference when Pierce is back. Oh, here we go. Since he's joined, 44% win percentage with him compared to 27% without him. So we asked that question. So well done, Billy, for getting that fact in there for us. Thank you for that. Tim Jackson, a word for Nicky Ajoze yesterday. He was absolutely everywhere. Cullen's range of passing was exceptional. Also, the fans didn't stop singing and believing even after conceding. What a header from Bilic. Just a great day after the difficult few weeks. Now, Sebo's talking about that big brawl, the Battle of Southend, the Battle of Rootsall, as we've been calling it so far. He says the brawl was on a par with the brawl at Hull in 2007 when Lloyd Sam got sent off. Sadly, I feel the club will receive an FA fine.
Probably.
Not the first one this week, actually, if we do get a fine. Now I remember hearing about this brawl. It's like a Tuesday night we played Hull. I think we won 2-0 from memory. But yeah, I think there was red cards being waved around, possibly one for us and one for them. That's a legendary brawl that's up there
the
as well.
The good thing about this one, you shouldn't really talk in that context.
We've already thrown away our professionalism about that. I enjoyed the brawl.
It's been a while since we've actually come out on top of a brawl. Really? I mean, I know their keeper got... but normally, when something like that happens, you know... And I've actually banged on about it before. I think we've tended to... Again, I don't mean cowardice, but we've tended to shy away a little bit from getting involved. You know, you normally get one maybe, and there's usually five or six of the opposition around one of our players giving it large, and the rest of them are nowhere to be seen. But that's not happening now, and I think that Lee Bowyer's must have made a difference in that respect.
Yeah,
because I mean, we had players there. And sticking up for our own, and that's what you want to see.
Yeah, exactly. Let's hope we get into a fight every week. 100% Charlton said Cullen was excellent. Really surprised at Jose starting before he had a great game. Fosu changed the game for me, but we'll miss the next three now. Taylor and Carlin linking up well and give Bowyer the full-time job. Onwards and upwards, come on you Reds. And Tim Jackson has pointed out our last win at Rootsall was actually the JPT. I did know that, but I won't go count that. Raccoon scored a goal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was 2010-11, he's saying. I remember that game, but I don't count that. Same way as I'm not counting Tuesday. This is the annoying thing.
Don't start me on this.
Yeah, now, so the Checker Trade Trophy, there are rules that state you have to play a certain amount of your first team players, six or seven it is, I can't remember. So the rules are, otherwise you're going to get a big old fine. But does Tariq Fosu, can he serve one of his three-game suspension during this game?
Apparently not.
No, he cannot. So, I mean, that is a ridiculous rule, an absolutely ridiculous rule that we are coming out the wrong side of. And you can't be saying that the team has to play a certain number of players and you're going to count it as a first... I mean, we're already making a mockery of us by making us play 23's teams anyway as a first-team fixture. But by then saying it's not counting towards the ban, which is what we told. I hope that is the truth now, because I've had a proper rant.
Well, no, I'm of the same opinion. I mean, the EFL say that you've got to take this competition seriously. They are an organisation which basically says that you've got to play a virtual full squad, a full side, in a trophy that is basically meaningless, that has no impact on anybody's lives whatsoever. Yet they can allow the club to be run with in one particular game recently, with no boardroom presence whatsoever in the club, and an action that affects thousands upon thousands of people and people's livelihoods, and they don't give a monkey's.
Yeah, certainly don't. Especially they didn't even care when at some point earlier on in the summer it looked like Richard Murray might be getting a game. Right, Steve Henry says that Cullen. I know we're going to save that actually for the squad chat, but London Iggy says he loved the Pierce stat, playing, not playing stat. He says it's not on Zaha level for the same level, though. If you look at the Palace's win record without Zaha, I think they've lost their last 10 games in the Premier League without Wilfried Zaha, including yesterday. They are very much the definition of a one-man team. Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live. When we come back, we will be talking, we're taking your emails as well. We'll see you in 30 seconds.
Be occupying that left-hand side at the moment. Little step over onto his left foot. Marshall, ball in the box is good. And Rebo, first time.
Oh, what a goal!
Lovely finish!
Oh, what a goal!
Joe Rebo gives Charlton the lead. Great ball in from Mark Marshall on the left-hand side. Chips it in. And Rebo, with a calm left-footed volley, have found the bottom right corner and Charlton have the lead.
Welcome back. This is Charlton Live, coming to you live from the Valley on your Sunday evening, or of course via the podcast if you're listening. After the fact, you can download our podcast from Acast app. You can subscribe to us there. Make sure you never miss another show. We're also available on iTunes, wherever else you get your podcasts as well. Just search for Charlton Live. And also, if you're sat at home, you can also stream our show through our website, charltonlive.co.uk. I was going to say we get loads of great content on there, but we only put the show on, really. We used to do match reports and stuff, but we sort of fell out of the habit, unfortunately. Right, I wanted to read your emails as well. Don't forget, coming up later on in the show, we're going to discuss the size of the squad. I've got a few tweets in now in response to the list of ins and outs that we had throughout the summer. So let me know how happy you are with the squad. Do you think it's improved? Do you think it's got worse? Let me know from the end. You know, that's comparing the end of last season to this season. Or indeed, if you want, the start of last season to this season, but obviously not between the Sunderland game and now, because clearly it's got better since then. But I want to know overall how you've rated our summer business in and out. Right, we've got a message on the Charlton Live forum from Red Army. Hi guys, a good win. Have to give Carlin a special mention. Must be a manager's dream. Runs the channels all day and creates space for others. Still feel we are vulnerable from wide positions in defence. Think most of our goals conceded have come from there, but you can't have the perfect team. Onwards to Wickham, hoping for a confident, dominant display. Have to build on a good win this weekend at home. Couple of points there. I mean, we'll talk about Carlin first. How have you rated him so far this year? And considering, you know, he's off the back of this superb loan spell the second half of last year with Crawley Town, he's come back and he's back two or three already as well, isn't he?
Yeah, too? It's clear that clearly helped Carlin, that loan spell out, plus dropping that middle name, that hyphen name. It's obviously was bearing weight on his shoulders. And he's back to the sort of Carlin, I nearly said Ahern again, but I probably can't. Carlin Grant that sort of launched onto the scene a few years back. And you know, anybody that's seen him at under 18 and the 21 level thought, oh, this kid's going to be a real player. And then we threw him in. Was it under Bob Peters?
Yeah, Bob Peters, yeah, Bournemouth away.
And then just kept playing him, because we had such a thin squad at the time. Surprise, surprise. And just it just drained him completely. You could see all the confidence just disappeared from him. And it's taken him how many years now? What, two and a half, 3 years to get it back? And he's back playing in at the sort of level that we knew that he could back in the day.
When everyone's fit, do you think he'll still be the first choice striker? Because people were saying to me yesterday, I wonder if Vetekele would be ahead of him in the pecking order.
I'd hope
when
not.
when he's fit.
Yeah, no, I'd at the moment I can't see Carlin being dropped at the moment.
Yeah,
even if, because Igor's still a bit of an unknown quantity since his injury. If you'd asked me that question pre Igor injury, I'd have said no question, he'd be a walk-in.
Mm.
But
that was 4 years ago.
Exactly. So I'd personally think unless they go through Taylor and Grant go through a real patch of bad form, I can't see either of them getting shifted.
Mm. The second point that was made by Red Army there. Talking about are we vulnerable from wide positions? You know, Page and Solly as the fullbacks. At times they've been asked to play as wing back, which would make us more vulnerable from wide because they'd be halfway down the pitch at times. But I mean, do you think we're more vulnerable from wide positions than we have been in the past?
I think that's probably fair. No disrespect to their defensive capabilities, but the style in which we play, I think yes, and I think that's less likely when we play the three at the back. Because we have that five in the middle, that sort of square, narrow 4-4-2 that we played yesterday, I think that will always invite pressure down in wide areas.
Right, good evening to Charlton Soul, says, listening in from Colombia tonight. Wow. Out there mocking them about our World Cup victory in the quarterfinals, I should hope, or in the round of 16. Says, not sure how he has done it, but after a pretty worrying summer, Boya has put together a decent-looking squad. It must be in the job description to work miracles with no support whatsoever. Can anyone there tell me if Chris Powell acknowledged our fans in any way? I have to admit, I didn't actually see, but I weren't. I mean, there was a great moment between Jacko and Powell before the game, and I put the picture up on Twitter yesterday so you can all enjoy it. Boya also gave him a big hug and a clap, and he said hello to you because he remembers you. But
and Damien as well. Yeah. There were a few people there from Harry Lennon as well. Was very chatty. So I can't say I'm with you. I didn't actually notice if Chris did acknowledge the crowd or not. It wouldn't have surprised me if he did.
Mm.
Don't get me wrong. While the game was going in, he was getting angry. You know,
yeah.
and having a go at what we were doing as well to the ref. So he wanted to win the game.
Yeah. Yeah,
of course he did. But after the game, he was his usual lovely man self, you know, and acknowledged all the Charlton people that were there. I can't say that whether or not he did to the fans, unfortunately, I didn't see it.
I mean, I thought that because we got an email in as well, which one of them actually asks if Powley got a song. He said, here he goes, from Kevin Tallett. He said, great game. The team really battled, and I love the support for Bowyer and Jackson, but would have liked to chant for Powell as well. He is still fighting for our club and will always be a legend. So I'm guessing from that he was in the away end and then wasn't a Chris Powell song. Now, I mean, no Charlton fan, well, you get a handful of Charlton fans, but most Charlton fans will always respect the man. No one will ever forget what he did for us. But I think, you know, when he's in direct competition with you on the day, it's the same for him as it was for us. You know, we're all just concentrating on winning the game. I didn't celebrate the winning goal any less because it came against Chris Powell.
Why would you? But can I just read you a bit of my intro yesterday?
Yeah, go on.
I put in football, players, coaches and managers come and go from your club. Some will be sent away with best wishes and a heavy heart, and others will be dispatched with a huge sigh of relief and a heavy boot up the backside. And then there's Chris Powell. Mm. And I think that's where he is. But that doesn't detract from the fact that, you know, it's going to be it was a surreal experience. So we did it, same as it was at Huddersfield when he was in the opposition dugout. And a lot of people still aren't over it, you know. But you want to still win a game of football.
Mm.
Aside from the fact that, you know, a lot of people would like him still to be involved in our club. We weren't playing Chris Powell, we were playing Southend.
Yeah, exactly. He mentioned there in the email, Kevin, about he said he's still fighting for our club. I mean, there was an interview with him in the Evening Standard that I saw on Friday, where he was saying about how upset he was at the state of the club and how, you know, he assumed, he told Richard Corley in the South London Press that he assumed the club would have been sold by now, and that's what we need for the club to really start building. You know, imagine if Lee Bowyer had a proper budget to deal with. With how good he's done with his signings, I think we would definitely be title contenders. Powell clearly made it clear that he still has the best interests of Charlton in his heart.
There is a case for a bit of serendipity here, because I think if we'd have got sold in the summer or even a year ago, Chris Powell may well be our manager now.
Mm.
What's happened since is that Lee Bowyer and Johnny Jackson are at the helm, and it's almost backs to the wall stuff. And we've the club and the team itself and the fans that do go have sort of got this fighting spirit and a togetherness which you know, has come out of adversity almost. And I think that may, if, you know, obviously if, and it's a big if, you know, the rest of what we hope happens develops and we get taken over and we can go forward, we may have a quite strong base to do it from.
Hmm. Very much so, hopefully. Right, first email of the evening, as always, came in from Chris Davin. And the subject line is loving it. Says, so Bowyer's boys made the short trip to the seaside and came home with 3 points. A good day's work, not an easy place to go, and not a happy hunting ground for us of late. So double whammy getting the victory. Pleased to see Taylor back on the score sheet. Reckon he could be the 20-goal-a-season man we've been searching for. All kicked off in time added on. A mass brawl with Fosu seeing red, along with two Southend players. Heard everyone was kung fu fighting. Those cats were fast as lightning. It was a little bit frightening. Shame as Fosu changed the game when he came on, by all accounts. Onward and upwards, bring on Wickham. Thank you, Chris. He always tries to slip in some sort of lyric from a song every week into his emails, and he's gone for that one there, which is very appropriate after yesterday's mass brawl. He said that Fosu changed the game. I mean, we've obviously discussed the game in detail, and he did. I mean, I don't think he quite had the effect that he had done at times last season, but he's just another outlet, and he's certainly something that Southend had to think about a bit differently.
I think that's fair as well. And changing the game may be a tad strong, but he certainly gave the opposition, Southend in this case, gives them something extra to worry about, and focus then comes towards Tariq Fosu, and maybe slightly comes off players like Carlin Grant and... you know, the others, anybody up front, whether it be Lyle Taylor or whoever. But, you know, he drags more than one person away from attention elsewhere. And that can only be a good thing, can't it?
Yeah, right. Adam Ferris says, hi, Charlton Live. Great podcast, as always. Listen to you on my early mornings drive to work. Thanks very much, Adam. He says, I was at the game on Saturday and Billick was phenomenal, along with Cullen. Both players are what we have missed recently. Technical players that can get the ball moving quickly and forward. Lovely surprise that in the last 10 minutes of added time, we look confident and comfortable rather than the usual Charlton nail-biting, hoping to hang on. Squad is looking fairly complete with injuries to return. Hopefully, we win the next few and keep some momentum going. Yeah, because, I mean, yeah, after the fight in particular, I mean, you almost forget that Southend were down to 9 men and had an outfield player in goal, but they really didn't look like they were ever going to come back into it.
No. And I'd loved... I mean, I know if it had been... I think if you'd have been playing any other game of football and it wasn't a league game with so much at stake, you'd have wanted somebody to ping a shot at yeah. at Coker in that goal, because he could hardly walk.
Yeah,
and there's no way he's leaping to his left to keep out a shot.
That's the thing. We're about 10 minutes left now. Someone pointed out on Twitter yesterday, Powell made all 3 subs before 75 minutes, and he used to always hold on quite long to make his subs at Charlton. So that was interesting to see if that's something he's just bought into his game and he's learnt. Oh, Anthony Penton's just sent a really good tweet in, which we'll come to in a sec. But yeah, so Coker? Yeah, got injured.
He couldn't walk.
He was hobbling off. And then we'd all said, right, he's gone. There's no way he's coming back. And he stood on the touchline for a bit, and then he actually came back on. So at the time, it would have meant they would have gone down to 10.
At one point, he was about to walk off.
Yeah.
He was just about to walk straight down the tunnel, and Powell sent him back out there.
Yeah.
Maybe he knew what was coming, Chris Powell. He said, no, we're going to need a goalkeeper in a minute.
Yeah, so he hobbled back on, like I say. So he was the man who went in goal at the end after the brawl. And, it's just a shame we weren't in a position where we could test him. Right, Anthony Penton. We were after names for the Battle of Roots Hall or the Skirmish of Southend or whatever it was you came up with.
Rumble at Roots Hall.
Rumble of Roots Hall. Now, Anthony Penton's one gone for much shorter. It just says it's Roots Brawl.
Oh, yeah, good.
Very
yes,
good.
Yes,
right.
Yes, well done.
Yeah, right. Let's have another quick break here on Charlton Live. When we come back, we'll discuss the shape of the squad, and if we have time, we'll look ahead to Tuesday evening's Checker Trade Trophy game with AFC Wimbledon.
Great work from Tariq Fosu. Now it's Forster Caskey over here on this near side to take the corner. Swings it in. It's gone deep. Bowers at the far post. Gets ahead of there. Oh, it's in! Patrick Bower heads the ball down.
Come on!
Beyond Ian Lawler and into the back of the net for Charlton's opener.
Oh, I can't believe that went in, Terry Smith. The ball came in from Forster Caskey at the back post. Bower's able to beat his man. He just heads it down on the ground almost.
Welcome back. This is Charlton Live here on your Sunday evening. We're coming to you live from the Valley, the home of the Addicts. It's Louis Mendes and Terry Smith in the studio. 15 minutes left to go on tonight's show here on Maritime Radio. Don't forget, we'll be back here next Thursday evening for what will be the big match preview for next Saturday's home game with Wickham. That'll be hopefully live at 7 o'clock if Terry and Tom can pull the finger out and turn up on time this week. Tom and Nathan. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, you just about turned up on time. And I was very sorry for sullying your name there.
Thank you.
I'm asking the question because now the transfer window for loans and permanents is closed. The permanent window closed a little while ago. There was very much a loophole that you could sign someone on loan with a view for a permanent up until the end of the window on Friday, which a lot of teams did do, but we didn't. We only dealt in loans after the end of the permanent transfer window. But, you know, certainly at the start of the season, a lot of us were really worried about the size of the squad. You know, we were seeing youngsters chucked in that normally wouldn't be. You know, we enjoyed watching Lapsley, and we have done so far this season. But in a normal situation, you'd think it'd be a couple of years away just yet from being the first teamer that he's become, although he certainly earned it. We were worried about the size of the squad. We've added a couple of loans over the last few weeks, and, you know, Bilic came in from Arsenal, scored the winner, of course, yesterday. Josh Cullen came in from West Ham in time to play in yesterday's game and played very well. And, of course, Jamie Ward also joined us after the deadline on Friday, so he couldn't play yesterday. He's now away on international duty, as is Cullen, we believe. But, yeah, we you know, good additions we would see. Now, when you compare it to the players, so I've listed, now I've only done first teamers, in my opinion, for ins and outs.
I think you've been generous in that, by the way.
Maybe with Jackson, because he weren't playing that often.
And Gyro.
Zyro counts as the first team because he was brought in as a first teamer. So here's my list of outs. So Ezri Konsa, of course, went to Brentford. Josh McGuinness went to Bolton Wanderers. Cashy, we released him. I think he signed for someone in France, if I remember. Jackson obviously retired, and is now the assistant manager, caretaker assistant manager. Suli Kaikai was released from his loan back to Palace and presumably now is working in the canteen there. Michael Zyro has gone back to Wolverhampton. Mavadidi left us and signed for Juventus, which I'm sick of that happening, to be honest.
We've got a sell-on clause.
Yeah. Amos has obviously returned from his loan, went to Bolton, and he's now gone to Millwall. Jada Silva, I believe, went to Bristol City on loan from Chelsea. Harry Lennon, of course, is at Southend. Couldn't play yesterday because he had a broken foot. Now, ins, I've counted Vitor Kale coming back from his 2 years of loans as an in. Lyle Taylor, we signed on a free from AFC Wimbledon. Darren Prattley, we signed on a free from Bolton. Jed Steers come in on loan from Aston Villa, the goalkeeper. Bilic, of course, who scored the winner, as we said yesterday, on loan from Arsenal. Cullen and Ward were our two players who signed on loan this week. Now, are we stronger? Are we the same? Are we weaker?
I'm going to do this case by case, all right? Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Right. Amos has gone, right? Yeah. So the replacement is Jed Steer. That's got to be a negative because Amos considerably a better keeper. You have to say that, right?
Yeah.
So that is a negative, I'd say. Just. Now, notwithstanding that Dylan Phillips has come in and done well, all right? I'm ignoring that. I'm just talking like for like, all right? Konsa has gone and Bilic has come in. As you'd guess as a lifeline, because Konsa was that centre-half who could also play midfield. And I'd have to say, with Bilic's experience and the fact he's come from Arsenal, I'd say that's a positive.
Well, I guess we'll learn. The only negative about it is obviously we're going to have to give him up at the end of the season.
Well, granted. Yeah. But we're only talking about strength for now.
Yeah.
I'm going on. McGuinness has gone. Taylor's arrived. Well, I think Taylor's probably scored more goals already this season than McGuinness did most of last season. So I'd say that's a positive. Even though I like Josh a lot, McGuinness. I'd say Taylor is a positive replacement.
Yep, certainly. Oh, yeah, 100%.
Cashy's gone. I suppose the direct replacement now is Cullen. Difficult to say because I liked Cashy a lot. Yeah.
But I guess I think Cullen's probably more of a replacement for Jake Forsikaski. Obviously, he's injured rather than gone.
In terms of gone and come in, Cashy and Cullen, I'd put that as a sort of middle of the road one because it's slightly different players. And then the other two aren't really like for likes. De Silva has gone. We've got Prattley as an extra midfield cover. Again, that's probably in a sort of different player for different positions. But in terms of experience, it's a positive. Now, then it's an open. Mavadidi probably then is the next one in terms of regular first teamers. And we've got Ward, which probably is a positive because I think Ward has got much more experience and a goal scorer at this level. Mavadidi, nice player, good player, probably a luxury player,
And second, at least in the second time he was with us, didn't quite hit the heights as the first time. So I'd say that would be a positive. The rest then you've got is Lennon, Kai Kai, Gyro, Johnny Jackson up to a point, and then if you're going to go that far down, you've got Reagan, Charles Cook and Hanlon have also all gone. But they were peripheral players. Have we replaced those? No. So in terms of squad depth, I'd say we're still fairly weakish. But in terms of the direct players we've brought in, I think we've added to the squad.
Yeah, I think the players that we've brought in, every single one of them will improve the team. I mean, obviously I'm guessing there a little bit with Ward, just in case, so I haven't seen him play for Charlton this season. I don't know if he's still as good as he was when he was playing against us when we were in the Championship, for example. But like I said sort of early on in the show, I mean, Bowyer's certainly picked his targets, told us we had to be patient. Now, you know, he did it in a nicer way than Russell Slade did. but, you know, he's picked up some really good players, which I'm really pleased to see. Right, I asked some of you guys what you made of the changes. CFC Dan says, we can still get free agents, you never know. Roland might be nice. You never know. That's certainly something you can say, but I probably won't.
That's not on my page.
Yeah, yeah. Right, Richard Justin says, yes, only weaker in keeper and left back. Billick is as good as Konza. Pratley and Taylor are upgrades. Igor Ward and Grant
bonuses. Igor, I suppose. Igor slipped under the radar.
Yeah, what's up?
Technically, he never left.
Yeah, yeah. I put him in as an in just because I was counting lone players leaving as out. So, yeah, I mean, again, I still, you know, we've still got to see how good he can be after his injury, because I think ever since he suffered that injury when we were in the Championship, he really struggled for me. Oh, excuse me. So we'll see how he goes. Right. The other we had three messages that actually came in from Steve Henry. Has said at least five of the outs are no loss. Jacko was already retired. Kai Kai didn't fit the role. Zyro wasn't up for it, even though he probably had what was needed. Mavadidi again didn't do it, and Lennon was probably not good enough. He said, for the ins, Vetekele, we all hope is strong enough for this league. Time will tell. Pratley is an absolute find. The player Kashi should have become, but injury and whatever else behind the scenes prevented. Billick is a real footballer, way above League One level. Taylor is quality. Cullen is positive. A replacement for Jake Forster-Casti. Would have preferred Judge. We were linked with Alan Judge. Is he Brentford, I think? Before the window, but didn't happen. Cullen looks a winner at whipping in the ball from set pieces, and Ward should be dynamite at this level if he still has the legs. The pace up front and wide is good. So yeah, good to see. I mean, with the Warden, that's what he's put it there, and that's the only thing I'm, like I say, I haven't seen him play for a couple of years now, so I just don't know. You know, with a winger, they tend to get, you know, a bit slower with age, as most would, and you'd think probably lose a little bit of their ability, but you know, we'll see. And you know, for someone I haven't seen, I'm going to put all my trust in Lee Bowyer and Steve Gannon.
Yeah, exactly. And I think so far they've not done a bad job. So yeah, of course you're right, and we'll only know when we know. But they seem to think that and they put a lot of effort in getting him. So and apparently he is dropping down a league from whence he came. So who knows? It's hopeful. Let's as you said, let's not put too much praise on the fellow until we actually see him play.
Right, we've got another email. It's coming from Mark Wilson. Thanks for your email, Mark. He says, it's always, he said, subject line is the worst type of win. He says, it's always brilliant to win, even if it's only scraping a seaside scrape, but on, or seaside scrap, sorry, but on reflection, in the warm light of a late summer's day, a backs to the wall, throw everything at it, win, papers over the chasm sized cracks in the club right now. I love it when we win, but I'm longing for the days when the whole club is pulling in the same direction. We have a full time management and we beat teams because we're simply much better than them. A win's a win, but it's tough to try and celebrate a win when we know it's despite everything instead of because of everything. Set up Roland, and let's get this club management and team that we deserve up the attic. That's from Mark Wilson. I mean, you've got to take them when they come. Yeah, the wins.
You can't disagree with any of those points necessarily, but at the end, it's still our club and it's still our team. And celebrating a win is something you just can't avoid.
Yeah, you got to take it when it comes, because there has been so much misery. When we get a late winner in the sunshine on the seaside, you know, enjoyable game, an exciting game, a high high-tempo game at times, an ill-tempered game at the end, of course. I mean, still laughing about those three red cards every time I watch those back. But yeah, of course, you know, we want Lee Bowyer to be the permanent manager. We want Rowland not to be here. And we wanted Bowyer to have had a better summer in terms of he could have had a bit more because he's done great business so far. Players clearly want to come and play for him as well, don't they?
Yeah, and no question about it. I mean, he's been mentioned in dispatches quite a few times when people have asked why Charlton. And Cullen's another one, you know, recognises what a good midfield player he was, knows he can learn from somebody who was right up there as one of the best.
Right, London Geezer says, De Silva was quality, but pleased he's gone in a weird way, as it means Page plays regularly and Page is proper Charlton for me. I'm a big Lewis Page fan.
Absolutely, yeah. No question about that. And it would have been interesting to see if De Silva had come to us, whether or not Lee would have tried De Silva in front of Lewis Page, because I think Lewis Page is a better defender, personally. And he can cross a ball, no question about that. But it'd be interesting to see whether it'd been interesting to know whether or not Lee would have put De Silva in front of Lewis Page as left midfielder.
Yeah, excellent. Right, we've only got a couple of minutes left. So we're giving the AFC Wimbledon game on Tuesday all the time it deserves. We're moaning about it. You and me are both going to be here, aren't we? So,
yes, that's true.
Yeah. Last season, if try and take a positive from this, I mean, certainly if you ask George Lapsley about the Checker Trade Trophy, he'll say it's a great competition because he got his senior start, his senior debut for the Addicts coming on at Crawley and he scored a goal. So, I mean, there will be, I mean, half the 23's got their senior debut at Milton Keynes anyway, but there will be players who are desperate for a chance to stand up and certainly to put what happened at Milton Keynes in the League Cup right, because they were dreadful that night.
I'd agree, and I think it does give the chance. And we're in I suppose, bizarrely, quite a decent position in that respect, because the chances of us getting fined is going to be pretty slim, because quite a few of the players that will play Tuesday night would have played in any one of the previous three games. Lee Bowyer can afford to rest some of the ones that were there yesterday and some of the players that that he wants to rely on for Saturday because of that. So, look, if you're talking about the trophy itself and the reason it's here and the fact that we've got to go, I don't think anybody's happy that it's on. But it is, and so we've got to get on with it and try and play the game.
Do you care if we win?
No.
No.
Not at all.
I mean, because it's certainly one of those competitions that, I mean, I'll put this on record now, and I'm sure I'll change my mind if we get there. But I'd be really disappointed if we got to Wembley for the first time ever in this tin pot competition.
Well, at the new Wembley, you mean? Yeah, I'd agree with that completely. But look, as you mentioned just now, and that good tweet about the state of the club, or email, or whichever it was, it's a football game, and you want to win it, and you take every football game in that respect. So, if I said I wouldn't care if we lost during the game itself, I will.
Yeah.
So while we're playing it and while I'm commentating on it, I'll want to win it. But if we lose it, and then in hindsight, I'll go, well, that's not the end of the world.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world, but it is the end of the show, Terry. We've come to the end of tonight's...
It's gone massively quick.
Yeah, tonight's Charlton Live. It's gone quickly because you guys have got involved on the emails, on the tweets, and on the Charlton Live forum. So thank you for all your messages, for having your say on Charlton's excellent win 2-1 down at Southend yesterday in the Roots Brawl. Terry, it's great to have you back in the Charlton Live studio.
Cheers, Louis. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks, good everyone. To see you. Myself, Tom and Nathan will be here on Thursday evening, hopefully. Might not be Tom, actually. I think he's away to look ahead to next Saturday's game with Wickham. But like I say, I hope you've enjoyed the show. Thank you for getting involved. I've been Louis Mendes. This has been Charlton Live. We'll see you again on Thursday evening.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.